everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Fellas, it's been a hot minute. It's been, what, 2 weeks now, or like more than a week that we haven't met up? But, you know, the playoffs have just been so crazy. I understand that our schedules have been crazy. First and foremost, shout out to both of you, college graduates, I should say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's major steps, man. Major moves. Congratulations. Yes. How do you guys feel?
I'm going to the G League. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Feels good, though. Feels good.
Man, I feel old. I will say that.
Oh, don't even get me started, bro. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like every time, like, you know, we have to keep pushing back the day of recording, it's like, man, I just have so much I want to say, and I'm afraid we've reached this point, and after we're done recording, I'm like, oh, I forgot to say this. Or like, dang.
Let's go all in.
Could come use on. This. All right, you know what? Let's dive right into it. The first thing go I wanted filter. To get into.
Just say it.
Yeah. The first thing I wanted to get into, obviously, would have to be our own respective teams. I feel like maybe we should give like our own little personal takes, and then like, you know, we could like chime in, whatever. You know, I'll start first, then Lawrence, Nat, you know, we'll kind of go into it. So let's get through with Miami Heat first, arguably the worst out of all of the first round games, mainly because they got swept. It hurt me more because I fully bought into, you know, get us into the playoffs, I'll take care of the rest. And nothing happened once we got into the playoffs. I was severely disappointed. Just from, I don't know what it was. Like, obviously you have to give credit where credit is due, and Milwaukee just shut down Miami. You could tell by the point differential. I mean, I'm laughing because that just messaged in our chat. I think I'm stupidly locked in. Another quote by Jimmy Butler.
Remember that? Yeah.
But, you know, man, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get what happened. I don't know how you lose this badly 4 games in a row. Not only were you, like, I understand when you're away, but you're at home. You're at home and you get blown out by 30. Like, have some pride. Like, do something. Everybody was a no-show, basically. Especially your two main stars. Arguably your two main stars, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, complete no-shows. I mean, like, the first two games, like, you know, they were combined, I don't know, like, 8 for 36 or something wild. Like, it was really bad. It was just really bad outpouring. Then on the flip side, you have Milwaukee, who, I'm not going to lie, like, they looked absolutely, like, amazing in that first round. Like, completely indestructible. Yeah, I was just, we'll get into that later, but I was just like, man, there's no way. Like, when I saw, like, the first two games, I was like, there's no way we're going to beat this team. There's just no way. The only opportunity we had was in game one, and we let it slip away. We had game one, and we let it slip away. The outcome would not have been any different, but I mean, like, come on, man. Like, even the Celtics got a game on the Nets. Even the Wizards got a game on Philly. Miami got to get one game? One game. Sheesh, man. All right. Well, do you guys have any takes on Heat Bucks first round?
I mean, Giannis looked good. Jimmy Butler and the Heat did not. End of story. I'm sorry.
But. Hot take.
Right.
I think Jimmy Butler and Bam were stupidly locked into Cancun. That's what they were locked into.
They couldn't they were ready for vacation. Yeah. That's what it was.
That's what their mind was. He was ready to be a daddy.
He is. His mind was definitely elsewhere. He got baby on the mind, you know. I had no idea. It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, Jimmy Butler has to be injured, but then nothing came out. I was like, Bam definitely has to be injured. Nothing came out. Tyler Hero was an afterthought at this point because he had been playing terribly, you know, the last couple months. And it turns out he's about to have a kid. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, that explains, you know, like maybe that explains it. You know, I'll give him a little bit of leeway there, but come on, man, to be complete no shows. Let's move on to Knicks Hawks. Lawrence, can you give us a little bit of your take on Knicks Hawks?
Nat, would you like to talk about the? No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I mean, like it was just nice to see the Knicks in the playoffs again. Super excited. I was in Seattle at the time, and I can't tell you like the excitement, like just running through the streets, like we got to get to Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, I got to watch this game. Man, like just that game one and two, like those, that was very close, very competitive. You know, RJ was hitting big shots. He was coming up clutch. Reggie Bullock, Alec Burks, man, he was shooting lights out in that game one. And I will continue to say, if Julius Randle showed up in that series, it would have been a lot tighter, would have been a different story. Because at the end of the day, right, leadership, it sets a tone, right? So if he wasn't hitting the shots, he wasn't making the plays that he needed to make, you know, everyone feeds off of him. And that's what happened in the whole entire year. And when we needed him most, he just continues to choke. And it's like, come on, man. But, you know, it was still exciting. I think it really just shows that we need another piece. We can't have, you know, past prime Derrick Rose. We can't get 30 out of his, you know, 30 we'll out of him every night because, you know, just it's not enough, obviously, as we saw. And Trae Young and the Hawks, man, like I was telling y'all all year in the beginning of the year, like, watch out for those Hawks because they're coming.
You did.
And here they are, man.
Crazy. Which takes that?
All right, couple things. Number one, the Hawks exposed Julius Randle. I mean, congrats to him. Most improved player. But when you have, you know, it was just too predictable for them to not, you know, capitalize and lock him down. And number two, when your go-to option is Derrick Rose for 30 points or no, 30 minutes or something like that, 30 points, something like that, it's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. You're getting no help. You're getting, you know, but I think it's a great accomplishment for them to make it to the first round, to be the fourth seed. But they do need more pieces, Lawrence, like you said. Definitely need more tricks in the bag for Julius Randle, not just the step back to the left. Won't work. There was a really good point by someone, I forget who, but like it worked throughout the regular season, him just ISOing and then just like doing his own thing and, you know, all that. But when it's playoffs, it's different. Like you got a game plan, like you have four games out of seven to try to beat this guy. And it worked for the Hawks. So, and Trae Young, he is a villain and he knows it. He acknowledges it and he loves being a villain, especially now in this current series with Philadelphia. But Knicks Hawks, that was crazy for him to really shine and be a villain in that series. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, you know, I honestly genuinely thought that this series was going to go seven games. I thought this series was going to be probably the most exciting, the most like nail biting, the one that could literally go, you know, it could flip either way. And I think I, along with Lawrence, had extremely high hopes for the Knicks. It just looked good, you know, on paper, like, you know, they're coming into the playoffs, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, fourth seed, like, you know, Knicks got this. Definitely young, definitely inexperienced. I agree with Nat, relying heavily on Derrick Rose. Not that that's a terrible thing. Props to Derrick Rose, because, I mean, everybody wrote him off, and he loves playing in MSG. Like, he loves playing for New York, and I think he wants to come back to, you know, playing for New York. Mm-hmm. But I think he's more of a weapon if he comes off the bench when he's leading your second mm-hmm. unit.
Yeah.
I think that's what fits him best. I also agree that they definitely need another superstar. I was going to save this for later on, but I guess actually we'll save it for after we talk about the Lakers. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to add about the Knicks Hawks. Oh yes. Props to Trae Young, man. I mean, I feel like this was like the coming out party for Trae Young. It's his first time in the playoffs, and to embrace that villain role, I could not stand him. I was absolutely, oh man, he was so annoying. It's how I felt with, like, you know, TBT to like Reggie Miller days. Like I was getting vibes like that where like you love to hate this person, but this person absolutely enjoys being the villain. Not everybody is built to be the villain and to embrace that villain role. When LeBron first joined Miami, he was seen as a villain and he tried to play the villain role, but he just wasn't happy and they ended up losing. Same thing with KD, you know, joining the Warriors. He was seen as a villain. And granted, they did win championships, but he doesn't like being the villain. He wants to be loved. He wants to be liked. Trae Young don't care. He's doing whatever he wants to get his team to win. Like, he genuinely does not care. And I love it. I have to respect it. I did not like him, you know, as a player. I didn't think he was that level of a player. You know what I mean? Like, being top 20, top 30 guys in the league, like, I just never thought that was him. But I feel like in this playoffs, you really started to see it, especially in the Knicks series. Everything he was doing was just in the flow of the offense. It wasn't like he was chucking these, like, half-court shots like he did, like, his first couple of years. He was doing everything in the flow of the offense. So, shout-out, props to Trae Young. I'm still sad that the Knicks lost. I really did think the Knicks had it. Let's move on to Nat's team. Nat, give us a little spiel about the Lakers.
Oh, man, I'd be more than happy to. I'm honestly going to play the excuses card here. For one, I think, you know, with a healthy LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis, they still be in the playoffs. I'm convinced. Granted, I think the Phoenix Suns earned it. They definitely, you know, as the two seed, it's hard to ignore how great that team is with that kind of coach and Monty Williams, that leader in Chris Paul, and then just a star, Devin Booker. Like, they literally earned it. Like, they shot the ball well that whole series. Ball movement was great. But I just think that LeBron and AD just weren't healthy. Granted, also with AD out, who is LeBron's main source of help, him being out is hurtful to LeBron because he has no help now. And at 36, it's hard for him at that age to really carry a team like he used to in 2018, you know, in 2010 to 2015, that kind of era. And like, it sucks to see because we got so much slander after we got eliminated. It was crazy. Everyone's saying, you know, Mickey Mouse ring. We got Cam Johnson wearing the shirt. Jay Crowder, you know, with the Bugs Bunny caption on his IG. It was insane. Like LeBron gets so much hate, and it culminated by losing the first round. Granted, you know, it's a rarity. He was 14-0 throughout his, you know, career, basically in the first round. But when you're still hurt, when you have no help, when you have no shooting, also, and your second star is not there. Because look, let's face it, every team needs, you know, the duo to produce, or the duo to carry that team.
Sure.
Suns got CP3 and Book. Utah got Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. You know, Clippers got PG and Kawhi. It's simple. But LeBron by himself, it's hard for him to, you know, do that. So while the Suns earned it, and I'm happy that they're advancing, Lakers just weren't in the right physical shape. So I'm going to put that excuse on the car, on the table. I don't care if I get heat for it. It's just true. It's true. LeBron healthy, I'm sure we'd still be in the playoffs.
What's your take, Lawrence?
See, I think even though AD was hurt, I think they still could have put up more of a fight. I thought that LeBron was going to do more in that, game five or game six. He just let it slip away. Was not a fan of him being a baby and leaving the floor with 5 minutes left to go. You know, granted they were down by like 30 or something, but I mean, like, you're still playing a game. Like, you're still fighting. You can still fight to win, you know.
Yeah.
Was not good for his legacy, in my opinion. Just bad looks all around. The Lakers were just like, I mean, I do agree with you, right? You need your duo. You need your help. But I mean, he's done it before. Again, yes, you are correct. And I agree with you where, you know, he's got the bum ankle, but you can, you can still go, you know, you can still fight. You can still try and make something happen. It just looked like he was lackadaisical. He wasn't playing defense. Sure. It's like, come on, man.
Also, I think the karma backfired. Cause remember that big taunt on Jay Crowder? LeBron in the post. Taunting Jay. Okay. Yeah, sorry. All right, go ahead.
No, like, I thought, so, like, the whole series to me was, like, poetic justice. Like, I thought it was, you know, after the Lakers took that early series lead, and you look back to when LeBron James is signaling, like, Jay Crowder smells, you know, he stinks. And then Jay bumps into him, and then LeBron flops to the ground, and then he gets the foul call. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I was so mad. I was so mad. Like, this is the thing with LeBron, right? Because both of you kind of touched on it. I always say it because I feel like I don't want to come off the wrong way. I don't dislike LeBron. He will go down as the best player to ever play in the history of the league. But what I cannot stand is, like, the little rinky-dink sideshow stuff on the court. Like, that stuff. Like, or my biggest thing, Lawrence touched on it too, is you're LeBron James. You're supposed to be the king. You're supposed to be the leader of your team. And when you don't get back on defense, when you kind of just, like, drop your shoulders, you put, you know, throw your hands down, like, come, like, I understand your team is terrible. I get that. I truly do. I've been... D-Wade has played on some really, really terrible teams, but I've never seen D-Wade do that on the court. I know, like, oh, he's 36 years old, it's year 18, he's trying to win more chips. Like, I get it. I really do. But it's little things where it bothers me when, as a leader, you say something along the lines of, for example, going back to year one, hey, you know, you fall down, wait for your brother to pick you up. You know, and then you see footage of LeBron now picking up his brother, or like,
well, it's Kuzma.
Part of the reason why, like, Rondo was brought in was to kind of keep LeBron in check. Because think about it, this Lakers team is super, super young, especially when LeBron first got there and the roster was what it was. And all these kids, all these young guys, they look up to LeBron. So when you see your idol, your favorite player whom you're playing alongside, you know, drop his shoulder, shake his head after you take a bad shot, like, that messes with you mentally.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? And you had the series lead, and then all of a sudden, like, the last few games, granted, AD's out. It's one of those things where it's like, if I'm like Kyle Kuzma, who I don't, like, I know he gets a lot of heat. I think in his mind, he's better than when, like, he thinks he's better than what he actually is, because he's good to me. I don't think he's, like, amazing. I think he's good. But, like, I can only look at it from a perspective of, if I saw a teammate who I know is a lot better than me act like that when I take a shot, that makes me second guess everything I do after that. And then you play even worse because you don't want to upset or disappoint that person, which is why Rondo was there. And Rondo, you know, there was reports of Rondo having to tell or pull LeBron aside, like, listen, you can't be doing these to these young guys because they look up to you. And look how well they played last year with Rondo. I just feel like it's one of those things where no matter how frustrated you get with your team, you kind of have to put that aside, especially in the game. For him to not get back on defense, for him to, like, just, you know, drop his shoulders, that to me, like, I again, he's going to be one of the greatest. He will be the best player to ever play the game. But he will by far be probably one of the worst on the court leaders. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that. I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, he makes everyone around him better. You know, he does all this for this person. If it wasn't for LeBron, this person wouldn't play at this level. Like, I understand that. I get that. But just from the visual aspect of everything, from the optics side of everything, he's just not a good leader to me. He's just not.
But also, like to your point about, you know, like, one of your stars being down, like, if I'm Kuzma, if I'm Wesley Matthews, like, I want to, like, take that advantage, take that opportunity and, like, try to make a name for myself. I'm like, all right, here my team's down and we need some guys to, like, step it up. And, you know, like, I'm not really that well known, or I need to, you know, I'm kind of being slandered on Twitter or whatnot. So, like, I'd want to, like, prove that, hey, like, I belong here. Or, hey, like, I'm a good enough teammate for LeBron James. Like, we can still win without Anthony Davis. But I just feel like that team just kind of, you know, gave up as a result of LeBron also giving up. But, like, also, it's just, like, man, like if I'm in that spot, like I want to try to at least like prove that I'm good, or like, you know, that I can help my team in that regard. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's all I want to say.
Absolutely. I know. I mean, I agree completely. And it's like, I understand it though, because, you know, you want to take that initial, like, oh, you know, our second guy's out, you know, this is my time to shine. And you try to shine, but then you see your leader getting frustrated with you on the court. You know, that is a little bit demoralizing. But at the same time, I also feel like if this again, like I'm not, you know, I don't have any insider information or anything like that. But this is why I think leadership styles play such a major role. LeBron is so chill. So like, you know, you can have chill practices. You could do this. You could do that. Everything's like fun and dandy. And it's cool. Like, everybody gets along well. Like, look at the team that they had last year, the chemistry that they had. That Lakers squad had a lot of fun together last year. You can't deny it, both on and off the court. And I get it. But, you know, when you try to carry that same type of chemistry over to this year with different personnel, and it's not working, like the players aren't the same level as last year's players, and things aren't working, and you see your leader getting frustrated, it kind of backfires, that whole mentality or like leadership style of being laid back, chill, the fun guy type of thing. Like, look at it. I know I always bring it up. Look at MJ. His teammates hated him. His teammates literally hated him in practice. They did not want to be in practice with Michael Jordan. But because of his leadership style, if he wasn't on, if Scottie Pippen wasn't on, those guys stepped up. Not because, you know, is, oh, this is my time to shine, or like, you know, I'm scared to play alongside Jordan. Like, no, like they were trained to be ready for game time situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys just for had sure. that innate, like, no fear in them to perform at a high level. How many times you saw Steve Kerr hit dagger threes in the closing minutes of a game, coming into the game ice cold? He was built for that. That happens in practice. That happens through, you know, I always think of that image of LeBron, of Michael Jordan in the practice. He's like, shh. And then he's like, you pointing, you know, from his eyes to the other, like, that's scary, man. Like, if I see you, like, the best player on the team doing that to me, I'm like, oh, crap. You know, I got to step it up here in practice. But, I mean, it's just different leadership styles, different personnel. It's just unfortunate AD got injured. This kind of brings me to my next point. It's sad that AD is so injury prone.
Yeah.
I feel like almost every single year he's injury prone. And I think Bill Simmons kind of hits the nail on the head with it, where every time AD steps on the court, it's like, oh, God, you know, he's going up. You know, what's going to happen? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then when he falls too, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, is he okay?
Anytime he falls down, you're like, oh, God, it's over. The season's done. You know, like, you never know with Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Like, last year in the finals, he rolled his ankle. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, he's done for the rest of the series. And, like, no, he comes back and he's perfectly fine. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, so you never know with Anthony Davis. This brings me to my next question, because all three of us, I think we can all agree, need to make roster improvements to our teams, the Knicks, the Heat, and the Lakers. Am I correct? Do we all agree?
Yes, sir. Right?
I'm just going to throw one name out there because there's different speculations. None of it's, you know, nobody knows. I'll just throw one out for now, and then I'll get your guys' opinion on it. I saw a graphic of potential destinations for Damian Lillard.
I knew it.
Right? I saw some really interesting ones. I mean, for example, Golden State Warriors.
What?
Please, no. Please.
What?
If he went to the Warriors, tell me that wouldn't be nasty. Tell me that wouldn't be nasty.
I don't see how it would work, though. I don't know. I mean,
you can make it work.
It'd be a super team for sure, but
for sure. another one I saw was him going to Boston.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, with Kemba coming out.
Tatum and Dame.
Yeah, with take Kemba out, put Dame in. You got Tatum and Brown. You'll have a healthy Brown. The rest of your team still needs to upgrade, though. They need some major improvements there. I mean, obviously, you know, Portland is still a viable option. How do you think, let me ask Lawrence first, Do you think he would fit if he came to the Knicks?
Heck, we need a point guard bad. So, I mean, it could be anybody. I'm fine with it. I obviously love him. I think he would shine on the New York stage, having that, you know, ice in the veins, Dame time there. I think, right. I don't know, the New York fans would absolutely love him. Like, they would embrace him, you know, having a superstar come in. Like, he's going to be, you know, I'm sure they would quote him as the savior of the Knicks, you know. Just, I would love it. Give him Kevin Knox. Give him Frank Ntilikina. Give him, you know, they're not playing anyway, so.
Do you know what the first thing that was trending after Portland lost and the Lakers lost on Twitter?
What was it?
It was Dame to the Lakers. Like, literally, like, as soon as, like, I opened the app that night, it was Dame to the Lakers. I mean, I'm not sure if that even would be possible, but I feel like, wait, so before we go into that, should we just ask the question, should Dame even leave? Or should Dame even, like, request for a trade? Because he seems like that guy who wants to stay in Portland for, like, his entire career, that kind of, like, Dirk, Tim Duncan, Kobe kind of guy. So should he even leave or stick it out?
He's going to, like, my personal opinion, he's going to stay. But as an organization, they need to do right by Dame for his loyalty. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to provide something.
Yeah.
Some type of trade. And that may potentially mean breaking up CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard to get something in return. Because outside of CJ McCollum, like, it's not, it's kind of slim pickings there. Nobody's going to want Nurkic. Like a...
They just need more defense, man. Oh my gosh!
Like, Draymond. Nobody's gonna want like a 37-year-old Carmelo, or like Anthony Simons. You know, like
Enes Kanter. Like, you don't want Enes Kanter.
Yeah, I do not want him.
I mean, like, do you think for you? Do you genuinely think Dame on the Lakers would work?
I'm not sure. I mean, your next best option for point guard after a shooter, if he stays, would be what, Alex Caruso. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of night and day with Dame comparing Alex Caruso, or like Dame and Dennis Schroeder. Of course you want Dame on your team. Dame, you know, when LeBron takes a seat, can easily help keep you in the game, keep the lead up, whatever. And, you know, like back in like the All-Star game selections, he would always choose Dame. LeBron would always choose Dame. So they got that chemistry going. So, I mean, Dame's not happy. LeBron's not happy. I mean, it seems like a match made in heaven, if you ask me. But, again, is it possible? Oh, I don't know. Should you include Kuzma in that trade? Yes.
My main concern is, I don't know. I honestly don't think it would work, like, chemistry-wise. LeBron is the point guard of the team. Mm-hmm. Granted, like, you know, there's plays where somebody else – you know, will run the offense. But majority of the time, LeBron is your point guard. Mm-hmm. He's your point forward. I don't know. Like, on paper, yeah, it looks good. You have AD, LeBron, and Dame. Like, of course, it looks good. But I don't know if it would really, really work out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Another question would be, does he really work out on the Knicks? Does it make sense for him to be on the Knicks?
I mean, It's worth a try.
Trying to run it back, Lawrence. Give me Dame.
Right. Heck, we need something.
Let me throw this one out there, because another...
No.
I know it's not going to happen.
Don't say it.
Dame to Miami. Let's hear
it. I knew it.
Okay. Knew it. All right.
Oh.
Complete opposite ends of the country. You go from northwest to southeast.
No. Miami deserves no stars after they denied James Harden for Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. It's just, they should not get any more stars. That's their punishment for not getting James Harden and trusting Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson instead.
Oh, no.
They should not.
Hey, you know, I give Miami credit for believing in their guys and not selling out.
They could have got James Harden.
We'll give these guys a shot. Let's see.
Oh, how pass them out. How do you pass them out?
That's an organization.
And now he's in Brooklyn, ruining the league. Oh,
Well, he's actually on the bench. And
exactly.
When he's back, though.
Ooh. When he's back. No, but think of it. Think about it. You have Dame, Jimmy, and Bam. Dame can do Dame time things. Jimmy is not a star that needs the ball. Mm-hmm. Bam will gladly run, you know, with the flow of the offense. Like, I feel like chemistry-wise, and Dame does have that Heat culture.
But I think Dame and Jimmy would clash, though. What do you think?
I think, like, they would get along. They both want the same thing.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. I think it would fit.
I think it would work. Oh, here's the last one. Okay, for Dame. Dame to Denver.
No.
How would that work? I don't think that would work.
You would have to trade Jamal Murray.
Hell no.
Jamal.
Hell no.
You already have that Wallace-Ellis
connection. If you're the Nuggets, you wouldn't make that trade?
No.
Give him McCollum. Don't give him Dame, but
Yeah.
If you're Denver, you would not want Dame.
No.
Why would you want Dame? What's the logical or first argument for that?
You paired Dame with Nikola Jokic.
All right, but you already got the connection, the chemistry established between Jamal Murray and Jokic already, right?
Also, Jokic is also like the point center. You know what I mean? So
is Dame playing off ball? I mean, like, look at Jokic plays point center when he doesn't have a point guard. Like, his numbers went crazy up after Jamal got hurt. Because a lot of time before that, Jamal was running the offense. Mm-hmm. But now you have the dual option of having somebody who can consistently and effectively run the offense with Damian Lillard and somebody do the same thing, but from the center position.
But you can do the same thing with Jamal Murray without giving up anything.
Yes, but you're comparing Dame Lillard to Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray did not have his season was not, you know, mind blowing by any means.
Well, right.
Prior to his injury.
He's a rising star. That's why. I mean, there's this promise in him. Dame's already, like, you know, he's already
established.
You know, a star already, but like established, right? But, you know, Jamal Murray has potential, and you got to, like, you know, grow that, you know, nurture that. I think giving him up, you know, for Dame just wouldn't be a good idea, because he could be like the next star after Jokic if, you know, Jokic or retires.
Let me switch this up. Let me pose it to you guys this way, and then we'll move on. You are Dame Lillard.
I wish.
You yourself are Damian Lillard. Do you stay in Portland, go to Miami, play with LeBron in L.A., go to your hometown and play with the Golden State Warriors, or do you try to win a chip in Denver?
Denver's not a good team right now. Why would you want to go to Denver?
You're 27 years old. You're trying to win a championship. Denver made it further than the Lakers.
I mean, they also didn't face the Suns. Look at the Suns now. Yo, they're going to get swept by the Suns. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
What? Whoa, what? If he has to go to a spot that is going to be most certain of getting a ring, it's probably going to be, out of those options, it's probably going to be Lakers. That's just...
But
the thing is, if he goes to Lakers, you have to give up a lot to get Dame.
Right. I mean,
we'll even throw in New York. I forgot to mention New York. Sorry. New York.
I feel like New York is like bought in on the whole, like, young guys, young, you know, third, you know, young determined guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of like building up a young roster and getting them to that level rather than like buying superstars off the free agency or trade market, you know?
Right.
But I mean, they still need that veteran presence, right? Their season got turned around once they traded for Derrick Rose, right? If they didn't have traded for him, they wouldn't. I don't think they would be the four seed. They really fed off of his energy. They fed off of Julius Randle. So signing another veteran like that, I think they could flourish even more.
Veteran off the bench, though, I think Dame would kind of disrupt their process if he's starting, right? At least veteran like a Rondo kind of thing, like a Rondo or like a you know, Derrick Rose in that sense. I think that would be kind of better than him just starting. That's me, though. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, you can, you know, put Derrick Rose, like Kuipi just said, right? Have him lead the bench unit and have Dame lead the starters. I think that would fit well. Mm-hmm. Personally, I mean, there's bias there, but
it would work. A lot of bias there.
Oh, man. I want to say, like,
what a segue, by the way. what a tangent we just went on.
I know. Dame thing. I feel like the best option, in my opinion, but he'll never do because he's not that type of player, would be Denver.
What is with this Denver talk? What?
Yeah. I'm telling you, you guys are sleeping on Denver, but they got something going there. If they were healthy, if they had a healthy Jamal Murray, I don't think you'd be 3-0 right now against the Suns. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
I don't know.
But I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but Dame is pretty bad on defense. Like, I mean, if he had Jamal Murray, he's more gritty of a player. I think he'd be better on defense. Offense is obviously Dame times 10, but he can still shoot the ball pretty well. So looking at it that way, as a more complete player, not just offense because of greatness, Jamal Murray kind of edges out Dame in that sense of like more complete package as well. You know what I mean?
Okay, here's my all in. I say Golden State.
You changed now?
Please.
Yes. Wow.
Please.
Wow.
We saw him coexist with Curry in the All-Star game. You're going to put him alongside Klay Thompson.
Oh, my gosh.
You have a young and up-and-coming
James Wiseman.
What's his name? James Wiseman.
He just doesn't fit.
You could be the Atlanta Hawks of the West.
What are you just saying?
Like, Atlanta Hawks of the West?
What are you saying? Yes.
Bruh, I can't. How would you be? First of all, you would disrupt the Splash Brothers, their vibe. You would just disrupt that. Also, you would kind of also tarnish Steph Curry's legacy, because again, you would like he just can't win without at least two or three stars. So I mean,
no, that's true.
I wouldn't.
That's true. Well, I mean. Regardless, I mean, that does it for the first round, right? All of our teams lost. Dame's team lost. Celtics were out. Washington was out.
Memphis was out.
Let's move on to the second round.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do second round.
Yeah.
Let me start by doing this. To you guys, and also Dallas Clippers, that was a great first round series. That's the series I thought the Hawks and Knicks were going to be, but it turned out to be Dallas and LA. I thought that was awesome. Dallas had us in the first half. We thought, oh snap. And I think it was the first time in NBA history where like six games in, no home team won. It was always a road team that won.
Yes.
Which I thought was absolutely wild. before we move on to the round two, let me ask you this. In game seven, did Luka run out of magic or Dallas run out of talent?
Lawrence, you first. Go ahead.
Tingus Pingus over there. if he showed up, I think Dallas would be there in the second round, but that's just me.
Also, I watched that game and Luka gave up in the third quarter. You could tell he was tired. Like, he just was exhausted, didn't have him anymore.
Yeah.
And also, no help from his teammates made it worse. So, it's a mix of both. Honestly,
I mean, like for Luka, though, when you think about it, the first, six games, he was the only one really producing for his team.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Jimmy in the finals last year. Like by game six, like he just had nothing left.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
He had absolutely zero in the tank. I thought that this proved to me that Kristaps Porzingis.
Is a bum?
He's definitely he's not like a top tier player.
He's not.
I feel like he's number one. He's super soft. Number two,
mm-hmm.
How are you going to get butthurt saying that like you can't coexist with Luka because you feel like he's getting too much attention? He's getting the ball too often, bro. If that's how you feel, then dominate a game.
Mm-hmm.
Take over. You know what I mean? It's going back to what you said. Like if you're given the opportunity, make the most of it. Clearly, you saw your superstar struggling. Do something about it. You want to be, you know, up there with the elite players and be listed among elite players. Play like one. Don't sit there and like chuck up little like 10 footers that hit, barely hit the rim. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? You're seven feet tall, dog.
Also, in one possession in game seven, 2-on-1, it was Porzingis and his teammate. I forgot who it was. It was 2-on-1 and he pulls up for a three. Did you guys remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, use your size. You're 7'3". I think it was Marcus Morris guarding him. Is he smaller than you? Why can't you just go in and, play how you look? But nah, he wants to be a shooting guard, apparently, with that kind of size. Like,
I think he's too timid with his size and his history of injuries. I don't like he was aggressive in New York, right? And obviously we see how that turned out with the ACL, with the ankle injuries. And I think that's why. But still, like, you have to use your body to your advantage. Like, look at Embiid, right? He turned that around. Had an MVP caliber season, you know?
Exactly.
So here's my two things with Kristaps. Number one, he's that prototypical, you see, like, parody videos on it where it's the big man during a pickup game where he'll post up, get the ball, run out to the three-point line, and chuck it up. You know, that's all he wants to do is throw up threes. Number two, going back to what Lauren said and like the history of injuries, like I get it, I understand it, but look at all the great time bigs, even right now in today's game, all of them have in some way, shape, or form a back to the basket game. They can post you up. They have a nice little post up repertoire. Joel Embiid, you mentioned, who was a runner up for MVP. Nikola Jokic, he has a, you know, back to the basket game. He could take over at any moment posting up, especially when you have a smaller defender on you. I mean, even Bam Adebayo, who's not at that level yet, even he himself has some, you know, a couple moves in the bag in the post up. Kristaps Junior just never saw it. He never wanted to go to it. He'd rather pull up for, you know, 15 footers and these little like one handed funny hops. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, man. You're 7 feet tall. Like, use your body, do something. Okay, but moving on to second round. Lawrence, to you, in your opinion, in your mind, which series has been the most captivating for you?
I want to say the – I don't know. I want to say maybe the the Jazz Clippers, right? Like, I didn't see the Jazz going up 2-0. Donovan Mitchell's really – he's lighting the world on fire. Out there in Utah, and again, playoff P, pandemic P, still here. He's not showing up. Kawhi, I mean, he saved the Clippers in that first round series against the Mavs, but he's not showing up again. So he's got to save them again if they're going to make some noise, or else I see Utah taking it. And honestly, give me Utah Suns Western Conference Finals.
You know, have to be because you brought up the Jazz. Let's kind of stick with the Jazz here for a second, because I agree with you completely. I feel like this series is by far like the most exciting to me, just because you're seeing this emergence of the Utah Jazz, who, let's be honest, I think ourselves included, going into the playoffs, like, okay, yeah, great, they're the number one seed, they're not going far. Yeah, what about you, Lawrence?
I gotta say, no, so everyone's been sleeping on the Jazz. I know you guys have been like, you know, like,
yes,
like you said, you guys are saying you did not see the Jazz going this far. But everyone forgets they were one shot away, right, from winning that first round series against the Nuggets last year. And Nuggets. I think they could have that same exact team, right? I see them as very similar teams. And everyone just writes them off. It's like, they're a good team. Donovan Mitchell.
They're healthier now, too.
Yes.
Exactly. What's crazier about this year's team is they're healthier than last year's team. And you have players from this year who weren't even in the bubble last year.
True.
What I love most, right, and of course, being a Miami Heat guy, Jimmy Butler is going to be my guy. But I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of, like, I'm like seesawing between this thought that Donovan Mitchell is my new favorite player. And for one reason only. And that's because he reminds me so much of this guy right here.
Yep. Okay.
And he reminds me so much of D-Wade. The way he moves on the court. I want to show you guys like a side-by-side, because I have to figure out how to do it. But the way Donovan Mitchell splits the defense, the way when the pick is coming and he gets between the one setting the screen and the defenders is identical to Dwayne Wade, and it's scary.
Yes.
The way he penetrates down the lane and splits defenders is identical to Dwayne Wade. He is Dwayne Wade 2.0. He is Dwayne Wade with a viable, reliable, efficient three-point shot.
Do you know what's wild, too? He has him on the sidelines because he's a Utah Jazz.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a
part owner.
Part owner. That's insane, man.
And you saw it in what I think it was in game one. Game one, game two.
I think game two.
I think it was game one. Game two?
I think so. But yeah, either
where
way.
Where he's coaching Donovan. He's coaching Donovan from the sideline. I don't know if that's legal. Wow. Like, I don't know if that's allowed. But because like D-Wade was kind of just like, you know, like kind of like side-eyeing. Like,
yeah, had the mask on too. Like, one of the covers.
Yeah. He's like, just do this and go. And I'm like, yes, I love it. And like Donovan is balling out right now. He is balling out of his mind. His whole team is bought into it. Game one, the now defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, with that game saving, you know, 3-point that block on Marcus Morris.
Yep.
Marcus was trying to, you know, tie the game up. I feel like this team is just, they're running on all cylinders. They're like a finely tuned machine. Like everything is just, what I love about the Utah Jazz is if, say, for example, Royce O'Neal can't get going, Joe Ingles will step in. If Joe Ingles can't step in, it'll be Bogdan Bogdanovic. And if you see it a lot of times with great players, I think Bill Simmons mentioned this, but when you see the opposing team go on a run, like it could be like a 7-0 run, and like you see great players like Kevin Durant, he'll pull up from, you know, from three and kill the run. Or like LeBron James sees that, you know, the opposing team is on a 6-0 run, LeBron will take the ball himself. Donovan Mitchell is that guy. Donovan Mitchell will see the Clippers, you know, go on a little run here, and he's like, all right, guys, watch out, I got this. And he provides, like, he comes through in the clutch in that sense. I feel like this team is probably the most exciting thus far in the playoffs. I love what they're doing to the LA Clippers, just because I'm not a big fan of the Clippers in general. They don't know what to do. But at the same time, like, okay, let me ask you guys this, right? We saw this in round one with the Mavericks. The Clippers go down 0-2 to the Mavericks. And like, you saw all the memes like, oh, you know, they tanked only to get, you know, beat by the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Now here they are. They're in the same position. We saw what they did in round one. Do you think they can replicate what they did in round one in round two?
No, they're going to lose.
No, different team. Deeper team too.
You were brought to a game seven against Luka and a bunch of third stringers, and now you have a formidable Utah Jazz team.
Yes.
No, you're getting swept. You're getting swept.
They have a deep rotation.
Yeah,
they have a solid 8 to 9 man rotation
for sure.
There's no way. There's no way. I mean, like, of course you can never count them out, but
I will.
You can. Yeah, we'll count them out.
Yeah, yeah. Also, isn't this crazy how like I think this is a Utah Jazz year because they got slandered first by LeBron in the All-Star game, saying like no one picks the Jazz. And then Shaq slanders Donovan Mitchell on an interview on, you know, TNT. I don't think he had
his face.
To his face. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it flipped around. Like, now they could potentially go to the finals and maybe even win it. Who knows? So it's crazy how this would be a Utah Jazz revenge season, I guess.
It's insane. You have somebody like Stephen A. sitting here saying that Donovan Mitchell is the greatest Utah Jazz player to ever play.
The biggest overreaction ever.
Right. I was like, okay, hold on there. You have to look at the Karl Malone stats before you can say that.
And Stockton, too.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys this. Lawrence, to you, which has been, I guess, aside from the Utah LA series, which has been the most surprising?
I don't
just say it, Lawrence. We know.
Whoa, we know. What am I gonna say?
Nets Bucks. It's gotta be Nets Bucks.
Yeah, I agree.
It was the most hype series going to the second round. And we were let down. Honestly, it's been a, you know, disaster basically.
Yeah. Giannis is, I'm sorry. Did you see that one Giannis series where he went in and out of the paint just like three times?
Yes.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, this man just wants to run downhill. Like, you pass it out, you know, you
spin
the only move.
Something. Right.
Somebody said he has no bag.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has no bag.
Looks like you guys remember what James Harden said? I don't know if it was this year or last year. Mm-hmm. He was saying like, I'd be good too if I was 7 feet and I'd literally just run and dunk the ball.
Yeah.
And then Giannis got butthurt about it.
Right. Yeah.
Like it looks like that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. And also like, it was hyped up because it was the like the best defensive team versus the best offensive team in the East. You know, it's gonna be a clash for the like the decade or whatever. And the Bucks lose by 49 in game two. Like, yeah. it's like, oh, this is over. Like, I don't see the Bucks winning the series. You know, just because they've lost bad in game two, and in game three they managed by the tiniest margin. Like yeah. they caught or stole the win just because of Drew Holiday layup. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I was Nets from the start. You guys picked the Bucks, so you guys, you know, but you know, it's just, I was hoping for a more juicier series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like the other thing for me is I feel like it's just that last game. I know it's like the dumbest thing. This is where that Russell Westbrook meme came from with the what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Nets lost it while the Bucks won it, if that makes sense. Because how are you in crunch time? You have KD and Kyrie Irving, but you got Bruce Brown.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say.
Taking clutch shots.
Uh-huh.
And like, I'm not going to lie. He was torching Brook Lopez in the beginning. Absolutely destroying. I'm like, Brooke, bro, you're 7-1. Put a hand up. Stop this dude. Come on, man. But then in the final minutes, it just, I guess he ran out of gas or something. But
yeah,
I don't know what it was.
When the last possession is up to Bruce Brown, you're going to lose. And plus, they have KD and Kyrie in the, you know, like as an option. And you choose Bruce Brown, like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
And KD was lighting it up. Prior to that,
right.
Yes. I think he made like
he made the dagger three,
five consecutive buckets. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you not give it to KD? He has the hot hands. He's KD. Like, come on.
Also, one stat as well. KD, Kyrie, and Joe Harris that game shot 21 of 61, and they only lost by three. So I mean, those chances of it happening again is very slim.
And you have no James Harden's.
Right. Also, he's out for game four. So.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
But it was just funny, you know, just Bruce Brown being like, don't worry, guys. I got this. Step aside, fellas.
It's Bruce Brown time from Bruce Brown.
Bruce Brown time. Oh, man. I also wanted to talk about, on the flip side, you know, yes, we get it. The Nets are fully stacked. They're going to be just fine. I knew the series was over when Blake Griffin posterize Giannis. Yes. I was like, no, yeah, that's it, man. That's it. This is done.
Did you guys see the video?
Yes.
They passed it out to Blake Griffin, and they had Giannis like zoom in, and they did the That's So Raven like psychic look back, and you just see all the Blake Griffin posterizations. Like, oh no, not me.
Yep.
What I don't understand is, like, I'm like, okay, you completely, utterly destroyed my team by, like, 30 points a game. Where's that Bucks squad? What happened to Middleton? What happened to Drew Holiday? What happened to Forbes?
I barely Forbes, right.
Bro, who are you? Where'd you go? Come back. Like, you mean to tell me DiVincenzo was that key of a player that, like, ever since he's been injured, like, they're done? Like, I don't get it, man. Brook Lopez, come on, dog. You're 7.
Splash Mountain, let's go.
Splash Mountain has been shut down. Like, they're closed for the season. I don't know what's going on.
Also,
due for maintenance.
I heard this take from somebody on, I think, ESPN. But I think Middleton and Drew Holiday are getting tired guarding KD, Kyrie, or whoever. That they can't make up for it on offense. Because it's like during that Heat series, like they were up big. So like, you know, they could have, you know, played less defense or.
Because I will say this, Drew's been doing a good job on Kyrie the last couple of games.
So he's probably fried trying to do that. So, I mean, that's probably
a PJ Tucker. I would put like PJ Tucker on KD just to get under his skin a little bit more. Giannis, man. Giannis, there's a 7-foot guy that can move like a wing player. Like, put him on KD.
Exactly.
Well, KD torched him.
Yeah.
KD did torch him that one possession. He got crossed up. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is one possession. Speaking of Giannis, bro, why all of a sudden the refs are calling it? They couldn't call it during the Heat series. Not that it would have changed the series or anything. But when you say Bolt can run the 100 meter dash faster than Giannis can shoot a free throw. Come on, man.
Takes six dribbles, looks at the ball, looks at who made the ball.
Six more dribbles.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anybody's telling him this, but fun fact. Like, I understand people have a routine at the line, the whole nine yards. The faster you shoot the ball, the more likely you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's less time that you're thinking about this shot.
For sure.
Facts.
Yeah.
It's less time that you're in your head. Like, I understand you got a routine and stuff like that. I used to have this routine. You know, it was nice little, like, spin the ball, double bounce, spin it, dip down, you know, let it go. It looked good, but I was shooting maybe like 70% of my free throws. My coach was like, get to the line, look at the rim, shoot it. Like, you know, I'm like 80, 85 from the free throw line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giannis, be faster, man. Be faster.
Yep.
Before we move on from this one, have you guys seen the footage of Giannis, like his first couple of years in the league?
Yes.
The jump shot? Yeah.
How smooth his shot is.
Yeah. Do you agree that, you know, there's a theory that's because of all the muscle that he's put on?
Like, definitely.
He's too big?
It's got to be that. Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but why is it
worth it for him to get yoked?
Yes. I think, it prevents... about it.
KD, that was the biggest knock on KD was he, you know, he could have benched 180 during the combine and he's, you know, however much he weighs, but he's a stick and his shot is so fluid.
Wait, do you know that stat about KD and Giannis?
Yeah.
They're the same height and weight.
Same weight. Yeah.
No way.
It's insane. Like, how they are.
Yeah.
They are.
Same height and same weight.
Unless like KD's got like a gut or something that we're not seeing.
KD's got a really heavy head.
It's just like bone density for real. Or something.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. Man. That was mind-boggling to me too. Like, he was like, how are these two people the same height and weigh the same? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, Kuya, going back to your point, whether it was worth it or not, I think it's very much worth it. Right. If you look back, right, since Giannis has gotten yoked, right, no injuries, right? KD, here he is, right, this whole year injury prone. I mean, obviously the ankle was a big thing, the Achilles, it's different, but like no injuries, you know, and he's able to bully people. KD's not able to do that. I mean, granted, he's talented. He doesn't need to bully someone, but Giannis now has that. I mean, I think he's got to work on that shot because it is ugly. It is ugly.
Let's quickly go to the other, you know, Eastern Conference matchup, Sixers Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get your guys' take. Well, obviously, I'm sure we agree that Nets are going to beat the Bucks.
Yes.
Yeah. It's over. I don't know about over, but
I think it'll be Nets, unfortunately. But Hawks, Sixers, I mean, Hawks took game one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Trey was doing Trey things. Nat, what's your take on what you saw in game one?
I think game one was an anomaly because you had Danny Green on Trey Young. That's why they won that game. It's simple.
Right.
But now you put Tybull, you put Ben Simmons on Trey Young. He's neutralized. Yeah. They won game two and three. Yeah. So that's their plan. Just have one of those two on him at all times, and it's over. Again, Embiid is dominant. No answer for him. John Collins is a bum. So, I mean, it's simple. That's right. I said it. He's a bum. He's a bum. Herter is a good shooter. Like Atlanta's good offense, but, like, you know, Embiid and Capella, it's just night and day. Like, you can't really – guard and beat, you know, with Capella.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing was getting Trae Young to not be Trae Young. And they do that by having Simmons on him and Tybull. Game one, they had Danny Green, who's like, what, 35 now? I forget how old he is. But again, something you're going to get your ankles broken by Trae Young. So yeah, they won that game one. But now I think it's going to be Philly in five after seeing that.
There's been a couple like back and forth series between Embiid and Capella that I found really interesting, where they're kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, like Capella will throw down like a alley-oop, and then Embiid will run down and like just post, just body him down low. Like, it's a nice little back and forth Yeah. I kind of like that. That little tidbit going on there.
Yeah.
We haven't had like the big Seth Curry game yet. We haven't had the big Ben Simmons game yet. Tobias Harris. Pretty. He's doing pretty well. I feel like, I mean, of course, you're getting the big output from Embiid. Joel Embiid. The only thing that I feel in any way that the Hawks have an advantage over the Sixers, and you saw it in the Knicks series, is they're so good at getting under your skin. They're just annoying. Like, yeah. John Collins, like, okay, yeah, he's had a couple off games, but, like, he gets under your skin. Clint Capella will, like, talk smack, but, of course, he gets, you know, shown up by Joel Embiid. Trae Young does annoying Trae Young stuff, like flopping, you know, at the free throw line, like during Ben Simmons' free throw shot, and B just kind of sticks his arm out and like he just flails. I'm like, I can't stand that stuff. It's innovative, it's smart. You know, he's getting the foul calls. I just hate it. Yeah. So are we all in agreement? Like, this series is pretty much done.
I think it is.
I don't think so. Lawrence, I really don't think so.
Lawrence, what's your take?
So I think, all right, like you said, right, they're going to throw Ben Simmons or Matthias Thybulle on Trae Young. But that's where people got to step up, right? We were talking how Bogey shoots out, lights out. John Collins, Dagger. He's got to step up.
Game one.
Right?
Yeah.
John Collins, right, as soon as he started playing well in that Knicks series, I knew it was over, right? Because he is so lethal. Like, he is such a talent. You know, Clint Capella is going to do his thing, obviously not very well against Joel Embiid. But like the Hawks, they can shoot. Like, if they get hot, man, they will stay hot. They will continue to shoot the lights out of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, that's a different story. But they can get hot, they can shoot, and they really just got to make their shots. And I think they really got to take advantage of being back in the A, because once they go back to Philly, you know, they're back in that hostile environment. I don't think it's over. I really don't think it's over. I think they can push, you know, 6-7 games. Honestly, like, this isn't just this. It's no bias. I think they can.
But if, do you think they can actually win this matchup, this round?
Oh, probably not. But I can see them. It's more competitive than you guys are making it seem.
No. I understand where you're coming from. I understand where it's not like, you know, they're gonna flop over and like, you know.
Yeah.
Just take it. But I know what you're saying. Like, there's going to be some fights, and then you never know with series like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You never know. I got to say real quick, though, like, props to Ben Simmons for calling, you know, he said Atlanta would be his dark horse team for this playoffs, and, like, they haven't disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat the Knicks. They got a game off the Sixers. I think it's, I mean, hey, you know, good for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move West Coast. We already talked about Utah, and we talked about the Clippers. Nuggets.
What is there to say? Sorry,
like, these series, these West Coast series are crap.
Let's do a little bit of prediction here. A little bit of predicting. Let's say, for example, okay, Nets beat the Bucks. Let's say Sixers beat the Hawks. Let's just say, just for giggles, Nets beat Philly.
They will.
Stop.
Let's say Western Conference Finals, you got Suns versus Utah. That's tough. That's a tough matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Realistically, who do you think would win that matchup?
I would base it off who won in the regular season in their series. I think Jazz won, right? I'm not sure, but I would say the Jazz, just because, you know, they're the one seed for a reason. That's all I'm saying.
So now you have faith in the Jazz, huh?
Yeah.
What is this?
Because Phoenix beat my team. So therefore, I do not want them to succeed. I'm just saying.
You want to lose to the winner.
I feel like, oh man, that's so tough. It is so tough.
Both teams, honestly, are complete, though. They're so good.
The way you're going to be looking at it and comparing it is D-Book and Spida.
Yeah.
D-Book and Donovan. And then, like, if you break it down position by position, even if you have a healthy Mike Conley back, you're comparing Mike Conley to Chris Paul. Chris Paul has the advantage. D-Book, yep. Spider, that could be 50-50. You never mm-hmm. know with those two on any given night. If you're talking centers, Dominaten
mm-hmm.
has been dominating as of late.
Yeah.
That's a tough matchup, too. I would say 50-50 for that one. I feel like DeAndre Ayton is probably going to give you more offensively than Rudy Gobert would.
For sure.
Yep.
But then, like, for the Suns, you got, like, Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, Frank Kaminsky, Mikal Bridges.
Campaign.
Cam Johnson. Yep.
Jay Crowder. But
for Utah, you got Bogdanovich, you got
Jordan Ingles.
Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. That's tough.
That'll be a fun series.
Seven game series.
Yeah. Okay, my logic says Utah, just because mm-hmm. they're so deep. I think the biggest advantage Utah has is their bench. I mean, you have the current sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson. Shout out to our fellow Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jordan, he kind of kept the Jazz in it in game two because the Clippers were up big, but Jordan was coming in clutch with those threes coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But I bring this up because I wanted to mention this. So let's say Nets make it to the finals. How crazy would it be if Chris Paul finally gets to make it to the NBA finals? And on the other side of the floor, he sees Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Oh.
And James Harden.
That's right.
And James Harden.
Wow.
All his ex-teammates.
Oh, my gosh.
And then shoves it in their face and wins it.
This is Chris Paul's chance. For real, though. Like, this is his chance to get a ring.
Crazy.
This is his only chance. I'm serious, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See,
but also, like, do we want Jay Crowder to get a ring? I mean, my guy.
He can have one if CP
but
gets one.
We want CP3 and D-Book to get a ring, though.
Okay. Yeah. I guess.
It's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice.
Let me ask you, Nat. Who do you want to have a ring more? CP3 and D-Book or Kyrie, KD, and Harden?
Oh, that's tough. No, actually, no. Book and CP3, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy.
Okay, how about this? Who do you want to have the ring more? Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, and Rudy Gobert, or KD, Kyrie, and James Harden?
Well, I hate to say it, but when you're talking about Gobert, who during the beginning of COVID went to all the mics and went like this.
Oh, my god!
I mean, yeah.
People make mistakes.
I'm just saying, man. Oh, but yeah, no, definitely not the super team that ruined the league. So I'm gonna go with Utah. Yeah,
that would go Utah.
Yeah,
Loris, who would you go?
But think about it. Also too in regards to Philly, right?
Okay,
I think Ben Simmons should not get a ring. He is a facade. He is not the complete player. Like, you need a jump shot in this league. You just need one. You can't not have one. You can't not decide to shoot, you know, just because you don't have one. Like, I don't know. Granted, they have shooters like Seth Curry, Danny Green, Maxey, whatever, right? But if you get a ring at that point in your career where you have no jump shot just yet, like, you basically just, you know, we're lucky to get one. That's my personal opinion, though.
I disagree with you.
Yeah.
I know you do. Because yeah, Philly winning the whole thing.
I feel like, you know, with Philly, you have Ben Simmons. Yes, you know, he doesn't have a reliable jump shot. Like, I get that.
He has no jump shot. He has no jump shot.
But he's willing to guard 1 through 5. Like, how many players in the league can you name that have the ability to guard 1 through 5?
Ability or willingness to guard 1 through 5? It's different.
Both.
Okay, not many.
All right. Not many. He makes up for it.
Like, you have, like, the only ones are, like, the elite players, like a Kawhi Leonard. You know, he'll guard, you know, 1 through 5 if he has to. I was going to say Drew, but realistically, Drew could only guard 1 through 3. You know, he can't guard 4 or 5. Ben Simmons could – I mean, same thing with, like, Rudy Gobert, like – I don't think, you know, he can't stay in front of a Steph Curry or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's
as we know,
he's probably it's a small list. It's a very short list. And in regards to the whole jumper thing, just a couple weeks ago, you had somebody that got inducted to the Hall of Fame who wasn't known for his offense, but was known for his defense, and that's Ben Wallace.
Mm-hmm. True.
So it's not impossible. And Ben Wallace has a ring.
Yep.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. That's right. Just my only thing. Okay, before we go, right, I just want to get your guys' opinions on just these two things. So Draymond Green's top five players, this will be to end our hot takes. Draymond Green's top five players under 25, Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson, Trae Young. Okay, that's Draymond. Jalen Rose, his list, Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
Who do you think has a better under 25 list? So the only difference, really, Draymond has Zion, Stephen A has Donovan. I mean, not Stephen A, Jalen has Donovan.
I go J Rose for sure.
Yeah, same. I would take out, Draymond Green's is perfect if he doesn't have Trae Young in there. You switch out Trae right. Young and Donovan Mitchell, I think that's perfect.
Yep.
Interesting. Very interesting. Huh.
Who'd you have?
I sided with Jalen Rose.
Okay.
Okay.
As much as I love Zion, Donovan has just grown on me so much. Maybe it's recency bias. I don't care.
But does Trae rank higher than Zion on that list? Like, if you're going to make the list, does Trae beat Zion in that regard? I don't think so.
No. No way.
I have to say, like, in terms of overall collective body of work, yes. Like, granted, like, Trae's played a couple more seasons than Zion.
Defense?
Trae's also, you know, in the second round of the playoffs, you know, where at the beginning of the season, the Hawks weren't even bound to make the playoffs, whereas the Pelicans were, like, a favorite to make it into the play-in.
No, but as a player, like, as a player and, like, how they are, you know, I think Zion has more talent.
Yes, please. I can't believe you're saying Trae Young's better than Zion. Trae Young is a liability on defense.
Yeah, but he has a better jumper than Zion.
And he's balding. No, I'm kidding.
Zion doesn't need a jumper. What, 90% of his points are in the paint.
They could easily be double-double guys. Trae with points and assists, Zion with points and rebounds.
So you're really, you know.
No, I'll go Zion.
Okay, okay. Oh, I was about to say.
I'll go Zion.
And also, Trae is in the East. He's in the East. We almost lost him there. Where the Knicks were the fourth seed. So, I mean, are we really going to compare that? Please.
Okay. Duly noted. You're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So this was fun. We got to do this again. Like, we can't. I don't like having these long breaks without you guys. Like, there's just so much to cover.
Right.
I feel like we didn't even, like, really scratch the surface on a lot of this stuff or go in depth with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll come back with episode 42. Just quick note. We mentioned it. Jordan Clarkson, Sixth Man of the Year. Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. Nikola Jokic, MVP. Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year. Those were the end of the season awards. We'll take a look back at that in the next episode to see if we were anywhere being close to being right about those picks.
Yeah.
Anything else before we go? Everybody good?
We're good.
All good?
All good.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode. Until then, stay safe, still stay healthy. We'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.